Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to Garage Talk Live. I'm Vince Bonfigli. It's been a busy, busy weekend in motorsports, NASCAR's all three touring series in action this past weekend at the Monster Mile. NHRA up at Englishtown running live events this whole weekend. Qualifying live on Saturday. Elimination is live on Sunday. You're listening to me with Vince Bonfigli and Tammy Allman, who was down at Dover this past Sunday taking pictures of all the goings-on, and you can check them out on facebook.com/GarageTalkLive. Go like our page if you haven't already. And we try to keep you up to date on everything going on. We're going to cover the weekend and make our predictions for the upcoming race this weekend at Pocono. So they go from the first state of Delaware to, I guess, Pennsylvania, which would be, I think it's the third state. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. Well, Tammy, you've been a busy woman this weekend, handling the dirt stuff on Fridays and Saturdays and making it down to the Monster Mile for Miles getting sick after eating a bad car and blowing some chunks. And
I had a long weekend, about 600 miles of travel in order to be at three different races, so it's kind of cool. Started my weekend up at my home track, Big Diamond. I'm a scorekeeper up there. My son's a photographer up there, so had five divisions of racing on Friday night, turn around Saturday, we go back at it again, and we did it again at Grandview with our three divisions, and then left my house about 5 o'clock in the morning yesterday to drive down to Dover to see my Cup Boys in action.
Well, I'll tell you, it was pretty, I wouldn't say the racing itself was, seemed to go pretty quick, and after being down at the track every race until 2011, the last second Cup race at Dover, which was moved to the third race in the chase at that time, before it used to be the second. Now they changed things around a bit. The truck race was actually on at 5:30. It used to be I'd leave the track on Friday at 4:30 after all the qualifying and the press conferences were done, hop in my car, shoot home, and then the speed channel would have the race on at 8:30, so I'd be able to watch it and get a feel for what happened.
And we got to give a shout-out, though. In that truck race on Friday, TJ Bell and Make Motorsports, they finished 15th with their drive for Lyman truck.
I saw that. I mean, you know, we got to get TJ on because
we do. They have a lot of news and a lot of things, and I will be up at Pocono with them. I am somehow going to make my schedule work out, and I am going to be up at Pocono with them for the truck race. It's going to be a really long weekend for me, but I'm going to make it happen just to be there for them because they've got some really special things going on. So we'll have to get a hold of Tracy and TJ and get them on so they can tell us what's going to happen up there for that race.
The truck race is what, the second race up there?
Yes, the second race. I won't be a Pocono this coming weekend. It just would not fit into my schedule. There was no way with what I have going on right now. And me finally had to say, yep, no, I can't do it all. My upcoming weekend is going to include scoring up a Big Diamond, photography at Grandview, and then Sunday I'm going to be racing at Pagoda Motorcycle Club. So I got another jam-packed weekend coming up.
Back on track, huh, girl?
Yeah, this will be my second race of the year. My first race out, I got a second. So I'm second in points right now at another track, and I'm looking to take my fifth championship this year, and I'll do it at whatever track I can do it at. So we're going to go up to Pagoda. Pagoda was where I had my very first ever race 11 years ago. So I'm going to go back to where it all started. This year has kind of been a year for me to go back to my roots and remember where I came from with motocross. And the hope is that I will cap off my year at K-Rock in Englishtown at Raceway Park in the WMX Pro competition. I'm going and petitioning for my pro license back in the women's division. And it's $1,000 per moto to win. So I am going to petition, and I am going to go run one more pro race since they're coming to town.
Wow. So, yeah, because August the 2nd is the truck race up at Pocono. So, yeah, that's it.
Yep.
You know, it's the one race that they had so, you know, both races of Pocono were so close together. I'm glad they flip-flopped the Brickyard for Pocono to spread it out a little bit more back
well,
there.
Well, I'll celebrate my birthday, so it's okay. I get to have my birthday with Make Motorsports, so I couldn't ask for a better birthday.
Oh, there you go. I'm in Tracy. I haven't talked to Tracy in a while. At least has she been in touch with you or?
Yeah, I've been talking. I was getting updates and everything Friday. Even while I was up at the track, I was getting updates and found out where they finished. And I was just so excited for them. That it just was an awesome finish to see them run that whole race. All that hard work that team's put in over the years, and to see them finally get somewhere with it, it's just incredible. And I just hope it keeps up for them. The team, you know, I can't say there's any other team more deserving of what they're getting right now. They just deserve so much for the big hearts that they all have and how they, you know, they care about everybody. They're doing this for the linemen. They did, you know, TJ's on the car for the line of duty desk for the fallen firefighters. And, you know, it's just such a big heart, and it's finally their hard work and their determination is paying off, and it's just great to see.
Yeah, tell them they swiftly forgot about me.
Nah, they'll be on.
Oh, I know. I'm just saying, you know, I haven't heard from them in ages, and at least they're keeping in contact with you, but...
Yeah.
It seemed to be that I give them all the time, and then kind of seems like they don't want to talk to me either.
They're so busy being on the road and everything and keeping up with what's going on with this new sponsor of theirs, so...
Oh, I think I still got Tracy's number unless you change it. I'm gonna say hi. But you
there
did text
you
them this week. They were there Friday. Yeah, it was good to see him run, finish the whole race. He wound up a few laps down, but I think that was the nature of the race with Kyle Busch stinking up the field.
Oh, yeah. It always is, you know, no matter what.
But, you know, I got all the stats later. I think I'll bring up... how many laps he led in that one? 150 to 200 laps in that one, and then in the nationwide race, he led 124 of the 200 in that one.
And then he only made it a couple laps yesterday.
81.
Yeah.
But it was 81 straight laps. Put him at the 10,000 laps led in the Sprint Cup Series alone. He also has over 10,000 laps led in the Nationwide Series. His most all-time wins there. He's probably on a pace to get most all-time wins in the Truck Series. It's like if he had some Cup Series, if he had string together a Cup Series like he had a few years ago when he won like 8 races, and the only thing is he didn't do anything in the chase, and that's what killed his season. But
right.
He was on the pace to win yesterday. And if he didn't have that incident with Clint Boyer, who knows? But I picked Johnson to win in last week's show yesterday.
He always wins, though, down there. You know, that's just Johnson's specialty is that track.
Yeah, he pretty much owns Dover.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't pick him to win Lowe's, Charlotte. I was calling it Lowe's. And then when I picked him to, because I said I was going to save him for Dover, and then one of our fans commented and said, no, Johnson's not going to win two in a row. It's Dover. Johnson already has the record for most wins there at 8 going into yesterday's race.
Right.
So the fact that he was a shoo-in, and once Kyle Busch crashed out and Johnson started on the lead, and you could pretty much write the script there.
Oh, yeah. Once Johnson's out in front, unless they screw up in the pits, he's pretty well going to stay out there at that track. He knows that track inside and out. He knows where the best lines are. He knows how to adjust throughout the day as the track changes.
I know, and you figure... adding a little of drama with the chunk of concrete popping up there, but that really didn't affect anybody but Jamie McMurray to a point. I mean, he still ran
right.
Good after that. When it first happened, they were talking on TV how it looked like a beverage can, and it sure enough did because it's sprayed everywhere. And they were saying that it shattered the glass on the crossover bridge out in turn two.
Yep, yeah, there was damage to the crossover bridge, so they had to repair that as well.
What surprised me, though, is two red flags for a total of 29 minutes. That's fast. I mean, first
it
of all,
was. It was really fast, and I was actually home the earliest I've ever been home from Dover because they know how to get everybody out of that track. They do a great job, you know, traffic control wise after the race is done over and done with also to get
better?
Everybody back on the road.
Is
so I mean,
better?
I was home by. I was home by 9 o'clock last night.
Wow.
I mean, within a half an hour of us wrapping up in the media center, I was out in my car and pulled right out the 13.
No kidding.
It was phenomenal. So hats off to everybody down there that was directing traffic because they did a phenomenal job of getting everybody out of there in a good, timely manner.
That's cool. I mean, you know how long it used to take. I mean, that was the whole purpose of moving the
we sit there till 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock at night to kill the time. And, you know, by last night, I was up fast.
Wow. Because I know, getting out of there, when NASCAR took over the press conferences post-race, post-cup race, they used to bring them into the, because before that, it was when, Dover ran it, they'd run second and third, and then you'd have to wait for the winner up at turn one.
Right.
You know, when Gary Camp took over, by that time, NASCAR decided to go a la Indy style, and they would run the post-race press conferences, so they would bring everybody in, second and third. Then the highest finishing rookie and the winner would have to go back out to victory lane to finish up their mess there. And,
right.
That was, I guess, to help us get out of the track quicker because those guys would be down there for a while. But it always seemed like when we left the track after the race anyway, the victory lane celebration was already done.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, they did a phenomenal job getting everybody in and out yesterday morning. Because even I got there a little bit later than what I normally do yesterday. I got there around 8, and I pulled right in, got my credentials, and was able to get right to my parking area. So they did a great job all around. So hats off to Dover for, really making it easier for the fans to get in and out of the speedway.
And the media.
Yeah, well, I mean, everybody that's at the track, it's just – it's so nice because it is a long day for everybody, even the fans. Kids get tired from being there all day long. And to make sure traffic keeps flowing and getting everybody back on the road to go home is just makes the day even easier on families.
Yeah, that's for sure. I mean, it's good to see. And I think that the race yesterday, even with the red flags, was pretty quick.
Right.
But I was wondering, because they red flagged when the Stenhouse and Biffle wreck when all that foam went all over the place. That was a good move to clean that up. And
right, yes, I was out in the garage area at that time. I was posting some pics up of cars getting worked on.
And then when the track, I've never used concrete to dry that quick. I've got to ask them the stuff they use now.
guys were saying in the media center that it was really good stuff. Whatever they used to fix it worked really well, so.
If NASCAR ought to get them as a sponsor, or at least Dover ought to. I mean, I was trying to. Dover made some news this past week selling off the Nashville Super Speedway.
Oh, okay.
Remember, Dover had about 5 or 6 tracks. They had Nashville, they had Gateway.
Right.
Memphis, another one of the. And they ran. They used to handle some of the St. Petersburg IndyCar race.
Okay.
They sold off all their tracks now. I think it's back down to having one track. One of my friends from out there that used to work at Nashville Super Speedway. I was going to try to get her on, but she had things she had to get done today, and I was going to talk to her about working at Nashville Super Speedway as well and Dover's handling of that and. That was a track that was built on the premise, hoping for a cup race. It was 1 1/3 miles, concrete. They ran night races there. They had a couple of ARCA races, a couple of nationwide races, a couple of truck races, and an Indy race. But they could never get a cup race, and at the time when the Cup Series was drawing crowds before the economy went south, that. They couldn't, they were starting to sell off all their tracks, made sure they didn't go belly up. So they can concentrate on keeping both races at Dover, and, that's the main show. It's always been the main show, and it was the only track Dover Motorsports owned that had any cup races. And, Right. They didn't want to move one of the other venues. So, but it, you know, it turned out to be a nice June weekend at Dover. There were no rain issues for once.
Yeah, it was really good. Really nice weather.
Was it hot out there? I saw where one of the somebody of mine went to high school with was posted from. Was up
I
in,
was comfy,
up in the grandstand in turn
ass.
Four. What's that?
I was comfy, but you know I'm always cold, so I was comfy. I was content. I had a sweatshirt on most of the day, so I was good. I had my TJ Bell Defiant Clothing Line sweatshirt on, so I was good. I was being defiant.
Gotcha. You allowed to wear that? Now sometimes it's they cringe about media members wearing
particular
stuff.
Well, his clothing line is great because it's not race specific. That's why it's great. I can wear it to any of the tracks, and it's not race team specific.
Right.
It's just his own clothing line. I mean, it's nice style clothing that's comfy, and I had my hoodie on. Now it's been comfy all day.
That's cool. How was what they have for food there at the media center? It's usually.
I honestly didn't even get time to check it out. I really didn't.
You got to eat, girl. You can't go. Days without it, then you get down and then you get all woozy.
Oh, I know. I survived, though. I kept myself hydrated and kept running around and getting the job done.
Yeah, I know. You always get the job done. That's the good thing. But
I do. I always get it done no matter what.
You're not getting any younger.
Oh, don't tell me that. I'm getting lots younger.
I know. Your age stopped at 29.
Remember, Women don't get older. We just get better at handling things. Well, not really, but we try.
I'll keep it clean for radio purposes, but I was going to make a comment. Last weekend, I don't know if you had noticed, Courtney Force, the 100th female event winner.
Yay!
In the NHRA. Hey, it was coming down to a battle. She had a shot at it 2 weeks ago, but she went up against Robert Height, who was on fire. Not literally, but seemed like...
Right, but he's just been that good this year.
Winning everything. You know, ever since he lost to Alexis DeJoria, they both called the show, and he wound up going on a tear. And then... So she beat him. They were on the show. He beat her. The week after that, she beat him again, and then he wound up going to the finals for a while. Now, Courtney seems to be getting it back together because she was running some good ETs. But this weekend, our friends at JFR up at Englishtown didn't have a rough one. I'll get into that a little more later. But I know it seemed like Dover, you know, typical Dover weekend. I was wondering if you saw any of our media buddies there, you know, and
oh, I saw everybody. Everybody finds me when I go down there.
They ask about me or no? I'm a forgotten man now.
Honestly, I really didn't even get time to talk to everybody. Like I said, I was just so busy and jam-packed from the minute I got in those gates that it was quick, hi, bye, got to go. You know, and that was kind of how my schedule went.
Yeah, that's kind of right. You had to attend the meeting, too, because you didn't get it over.
Yeah, meetings and drivers' intros and, you know, just so much that goes on. And the fans don't realize how much... You know, I love a lot of people. Oh, great, you get to go see the race. I'm like, it's not fun in games. There's no downtime. There's no sitting still. You're on your feet all day long, running from one end of pit road to the other, running in the garage and getting shots when they break. It's a lot of work.
The photographer job is rough out there.
Yeah, I mean, we're climbing up photographer stands, and there's just so much that goes on that they don't realize. And then you got to quick dump all the pictures, get them off your camera, and get them posted as quick as you can because you want to get it up there before somebody else does. And it just takes a lot of work. And, you know, by the time I'm done and I get home, I'm just exhausted.
Oh, I know. I didn't do half the work you did on the weekend as far as running around goes, except, like, Friday and Saturday was interview day. And
right.
Sunday was just... I was in the media center watching the race, waiting for the end there. Because really, what am I going to do out there on pit road except get in somebody's way, you know? I mean, that's where all the writers are. And the only thing you miss about is making the contacts on Friday, getting the drivers for Saturday. And that's about the only time you can get them. And the way they got it set up now, the press conferences, for a while they're... you know, towards the end, I was just rather go get my interviews out in the truck in the Nationwide garage and on Friday, and then Saturday get lineup cup interviews and get the one-on-ones that way. Because if you get to the haulers or the press conferences, you got to deal with everybody else. Then you risk.
Right.
Then you're on the risk of Tony yelling at you.
Oh, don't go there. Now he. No, see, we're fine now. We're good.
Yeah,
I got.
Oh, you're good.
I actually got to see him yesterday. It was nice to see him yesterday.
Yeah. Did he say
yeah,
hi or anything? Or
yeah, I got to say hi to Tony. Got to say hi to Luke Bryan. Oof. I made a lot of girls jealous when they saw some of the pictures I had of him, and I'm like, well, he was standing right next to me. I know.
That's what's good about cell phones and being able to take selfies.
Oh, yeah. Well, NASCAR is encouraging the drivers to do selfies with their fans. So, you know, they really are stressing for the drivers to start being more personal. They parked the cars up against the pit wall yesterday, up against the pit boxes, so the fans could actually get near them on pit road, which was kind of nice. I mean, NASCAR really wants to bring the drivers back to the fans, and they are doing everything they can. So fans, please be patient. It's going to take some time, but NASCAR's putting it to them and telling them, you got to do this, guys. So NASCAR's finally stepping up, and I give a, you know, applause to them for finally stepping up and saying, guys, you need to go out there with your fans.
Well, that's the way it used to be, and they kind of got away
and
from
Jeff
that
Gordon,
one.
Jeff Gordon was one of the first ones that stepped up, and he was there taking selfies with his fans, so it was really cool.
Yeah, that's a good thing because, you know, that's the way it used to be. And then when the sport got really big and the crowds in the garage area got to be unmanageable,
right?
They had to stop all that. And then you go to an NHRA event, and where are you at? You're right there. They're working on the car. The driver comes out. Everybody goes ape.
Absolutely.
My first drag race at English Town, when we went, was it 2011? I think we did, because that and Dover were different weeks. What do you need earplugs and gas masks for?
Yeah, we found out real quick.
Well, you had a little bit of a heads up. You went to Maple Grove earlier, the year before.
Yeah, I dust behind trailers. But, well, I hate to tell you, but my phone is beeping, so it means it's going to kick out on me.
All right, well, it was good to have you all. Good job up there yesterday, and keep tuned in. I'm going to try to get somebody next week that was on The Voice.
We'll see if we can. Okay, and I'll get a hold of TJ and see if we can get them on.
Yeah, I'm gonna see.
They have some big stuff coming up.
Tracy,
you know what? I'll see if I can get them for you.
Well, I could text Tracy and say, hey, how you been? I haven't heard from you in eons.
Yeah.
Did you forget? So I could touch Tracy a little bit. All right, because last time I had the other driver on. Eflin.
Yep, we had Danny on. But, yep, TJ and Make Motorsports are together, so.
And Amanda was the one who was handling that, because she's supposedly the PR rep.
Yep, but I'll make a couple phone calls.
You do that, I'll touch base with him just to make sure.
Okay, sounds good.
Maybe I'll do that tomorrow after the show or something. But you have
sounds
fun. Get that car worked on, and we'll talk to you next time.
Yep, we'll catch up with you later on.
All right.
Bye.
Bye-bye then. We have Tracy, Tammy Allman from Garage Talk Live, heading up down at Dover. She also rides motorcycles and things like that. She usually spends the whole weekend at Dover, but being she's with a couple of dirt teams and works at a couple of dirt tracks on the Fridays and Saturdays, wasn't able to make it to the race yesterday. Friday night's race of the truck series turned out to be event. Kyle Busch starting all three events at Dover, and he usually does. Was able to lead three times for 150 laps out of the 200-lap event to take home the first of his two trophies of the weekend. Ryan Blaney, who's driving for Brad Keselowski and / Roger Penske. I think they both have a hand in that team, finished second with 29. Johnny Sauter was third. Brandon Jones was fourth. Joey Coulter rounds out the top five. A guy everybody was looking at is Joe Nemechek's son, John Hunter Nemechek. He finished sixth. Our old pal T.J. Bell finished 15th. We've got to give him a shout-out. He's always been good enough to come on the show with us, and I am going to touch base with the team owner and see if we can get T.J. back on. Jennifer Jo Cobb, running better now, finished 20th. The only reason why I say that is because she used to come on the show a bit, and she had a couple of years there where things didn't go well, trying to run, juggle Nationwide and Truck Series teams. But as far as the points go, the points leader is Timothy Peters, and he had such a good day. Did wind up coming back to 10th. You only had seven trucks on the lead lap. That's the kind of the day it was. There were seven cautions for 38 laps, so the race ran pretty clean. There were six lead changes amongst four drivers. Matt Crafton had a little bit of a problem. He wound up getting wrecked. And he's in a tight points race with Timothy Peters. Him and Johnny Sauter both. Crafton and Sauter are both a point back. You know, they're going to kind of fight it out. But the Truck Series, always a tight points lead, coming all the way down to the wire. There's no chase that they have to worry about in resetting. So they run from Daytona all the way to Homestead at Ford Weekend. And they only run 25 races, so... The race took an hour and 57 minutes. And the average speed was 102 miles an hour. Margin of victory, 2.12 seconds. So that's at Dover, that's half a track, pretty much, because you could be in turn one and second place was coming through turn four. Kyle Busch was too fast, didn't have a chance to get caught. The only person who led multiple laps besides Kyle Busch was the 88 of Matt Crafton, who started second, and he led twice for 46 laps. Pretty much that was all Kyle Busch's night. Going on to the Saturday day, the Nationwide Series, it looked like a repeat of the truck race, except for the most part, Joey Logano started from the pole. And led one time for 58 laps, had a pretty good run of it. Then he gave it up to Chase Elliott, who led once for 18 laps. And then after that, Kyle Busch took over and led the last 124 laps and kind of silenced the crowd a bit. Looking at the stands, you know, usually don't get the crowd you do on. You get a better crowd on Sunday anyway, but Kyle Busch kind of drove off with it to take his second Miles the Monster trophy. Of course, the Truck Series one isn't as big as the Nationwide one, and the Nationwide one isn't as big as the Cup Series one, but Kyle Busch wound up taking his second of the weekend. Followed up by Trevor Bayne, who came in second. Joey Logano was third. Matt Kenseth was fourth. Chase Elliott, I don't know, you got to watch this kid. He's doing pretty good. He won't be at Pocono this coming weekend, but I'll have to check and see if Nationwide Series is in action or if they got the weekend off. But anyway, he was leading the points, had a couple bad weekends, and he's now out of it, but he's not out of it yet due to the point separation. He's behind by about 22, so that can be made up at any track down the road. They come back to Dover again. They go to Bristol coming up. It's going to be a few tough tracks there for anybody. So Kyle Busch, Trevor Bayne, Joey Logano, Matt Kenseth ahead of Chase Elliott, all Cup drivers. Chase Elliott is the highest finishing Nationwide Series driver. Kyle Larson behind him in sixth, Brian Scott, seventh, eighth, Ty Dillon, ninth, Elliott Sadler, and Reagan Smith in tenth. That was another quick race for 200 laps. It was an hour and 44 minutes and 35 seconds. The average speed was 114 mile an hour. That was a bit faster than a Truck Series race. Margin of victory was 1 second and 5 one-thousandths. There were four cautions for 27 laps there in the faster speed. Three lead changes amongst three drivers. They said Kyle Busch leading the last 124 and getting his second miles, the Monster Trophy of the weekend. That put Reagan Smith still in the top spot with his 10th place finish. Elliott Sadler, who finished ninth, is second. He is 4 points back. Chase Elliott is third, like I said, 22 points back. Trevor Bayne, fourth. Ty Dillon, fifth. Sixth is Brian Scott. Seventh is Brendan Gaughan. Eighth, James Buescher. Ninth, Chris Buescher. And tenth, Dylan Kuznewski. Which all leads up to yesterday's race at the Monster Mile. Where Kyle Busch had a good start on it. He led one time for 81 laps. He led the first 81 laps in the race. Looked like he was going to stake up the field for a third straight day. And then a couple of drivers taking turns. Kevin Harvick led twice for 24 laps. Clint Bowyer led a few laps. Matt Kenseth led 17 laps, but it was Jimmy Johnson leading seven times for 272 laps, including the last 33 laps to the finish. And I said Johnson was going to win. I picked him for Dover. He pretty much owns that track. You cannot pick against him at Dover, no matter. I mean, not saying he's going to win every race there, but he's won 9 out of 12. So that's a pretty good out of his. I think he has 12 starts at Dover. He's won 9 races there. So you cannot count Jimmy Johnson there. There's the Miles, the Monster, out in the fan zone where they have Richard Petty's plaque for 7 wins. They have Bobby Allison's plaque for 7 wins. So you can better believe Jimmy Johnson is going to have his face on at the base of that Monster with whatever amount of wins he finishes up with. And, of course, he came up with the most bonus points, taking 5 bonus points for leading the most laps, leading the lap, and whatever else they did. He did start fourth. Brad Keselowski was on the pole, but he wound up finishing second. He was the only one trying to chase down Jimmy for the win, but he couldn't catch him in the late going, and there was a caution with about 8 laps to go to tighten up the field to give somebody a chance at Johnson, but once Johnson took the lead, they couldn't catch him. There was another caution with about, let's see when the second to the last caution was. And that was lap 362, so that was 38 laps to go. Which, before that point, they were worrying about a fuel mileage run. So when that caution came out, everybody that needed to pit and get fuel did so. And when the race went green again, Jimmy Johnson took off, and nobody could catch him, and then back at lap 394, when the final caution came out, then they bunched the field up again. and giving everybody another shot at Jimmy Johnson, but that didn't play out because he was able to get ahead of the pack and run down away from everybody. So Brad Keselowski, once he got clear into second place, he was able to close the gap. So the margin of victory was 0.88. So you're looking at 8/10, 8 car lengths. A tenth is about a car length. So race took 3 hours, 23 minutes, and 52 seconds. And that's included, the average speed was 117, and the only reason with that is 8 cautions for 41 laps, 2 red flags. One was the incident with Greg Biffle and his teammate, Ricky Stenhouse, where they kind of obliterated each other's car. And they had to clean up a lot of foam chunks from there. So once they got that done, of course, the next red flag came out later when they had to repair the track. That was a 22-minute cleanup when the Jamie McMurray hit a chunk of racetrack there that came loose and sprayed concrete everywhere. Of course, if anybody familiar with the Monster Mile knows there is 2 bridges that cross the track. One is at the exit of Turn 2, which is the crossover bridge where the media, the drivers, and all get to the infield. Some fans get in there, the fans as well, unless they open up the track and you can walk across it, get that way. But usually everybody comes in over the Turn 2 bridge and down going into Turn 3 is the DuPont Bridge, which is premium seating, actually, and it's a lot sturdier built with bulletproof glass. And you could actually sit and watch the race over the track going into Turn 3. It's on the far end of the hotel casino. So Turn 2 is the crossover bridge, and that usually rattles when cars go under it anyway. And that's where the damage happened there, and that kind of sprayed the, shattered the glass, so they had to repair that. And whatever they used, it took for it to be ready to go in 22 minutes. I want to know what that product is. I'm going to have to call down to Dover and ask them what they used to fix that, because that is some good stuff. I would have thought they would have had the epoxy something there. It would take a little longer to set, or even Quikrete, the stuff you buy at the store and mix yourself, takes longer than that to set. And these guys were back on it in no time. So whatever that is, they ought to market that thing good, because you could patch anything with that and have it dry and ready to go in no time. If you can go racing on that surface, you better believe that somebody ought to try to sell that to the public. If they do, they ought to, I would advertise it better, because you can't beat it with that. But anyway, with all the hullabaloo, Johnson winning his second in a row after not winning 11, had no win through 11 races. Race 12, race 13, boom, boom, 2 wins, both strong wins, too. It's not like he eked out a couple of wins in the past 2 weeks. He won the 600-miler last week, which is a feat in itself, and it's not like a drag race to the finish where they had a restart, like green-white checker, where you got to get lucky to get the right restart. Now, he was beating people good. And then yesterday at Dover, you can't count him out there. When he wins, he usually wins big there, and when he doesn't win, he usually has some problems there, and just things happen but that could happen to anybody. That being said, the points now in the Sprint Cup Series, it's Matt Kenseth points-wise with 463 points. Jeff Gordon is now 2 back. He was in the lead. Carl Edwards is 3 back. Jimmy Johnson is 4 back, even with the 2 wins now. Dale Earnhardt Jr., if he had played, if he had gambled right at Talladega, he might have had 2 wins as well, but he's in 5th. He's got a win. He won the Daytona 500. Joey Logano is 6th. He's in a double race winner as well. 7th, Kyle Busch has a win on there, so that counts him in the chase. 8th is Brad Keselowski. He has a win. 9th is Denny Hamlin. He has a win. 10th, Kyle Larson, no wins. Ryan Newman, an 11th, no wins. Kevin Harvick is 12th. He climbed up from the abyss a bit, so, and he has 2 wins, so he'd be moving up in the seeding. Brian Vickers is 13th without a win. Paul Menard, 14th. Austin Dillon, 15th. Greg Biffle, 16th. All those guys have no wins. The only one not in that field of 16 with a win is Kurt Busch. And he's at 27th now, so he's dropping. If he drops more than 3 more places with that win, he will not make the chase. He'll need to win another race. Plus, that'll help him in the points anyway. But so the only one that's listed in the chase from the super team of Stuart Haas with Harvick, Patrick, Busch, and Stewart is Kevin Harvick. So now that team had had a few rough weeks where he was down in the 20s, and he was able to get back. Kurt Busch, see what kind of day he had. Figure he finished 18th. He ran both races last week, had a 6th place finish in the Indianapolis 500, and wound up finishing 40th after blowing a motor in the Coca-Cola 600. Danica Patrick had that nice day at Kansas where she had a good finish there and faded ever since. Had a good qualifying run at Charlotte, drifted back, and this week at Dover, she finished better than she started, but 23rd out of 28th, 4 laps down. You know, it kind of makes you wonder. I'd like to see another woman make it up to the Sprint Cup Series in a car as equal or better and see what happens there. I mean, you're talking sponsorship by GoDaddy. You're talking motors built by Rick Hendrick. The car itself, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. They're pretty much all the same anyway. But the only one who seems to be having any kind of success in that team is Harvick. So maybe this is Harvick's year. Who knows? But either way, to win the Sprint Cup Championship, it looks like one will have to go to Jimmy Johnson to do it. Because he seems to be the one that. He's got 6 championships. He's the defending champ, and you got to go through him to win. Okay, in the top fuel division, we're going to the NHRA now. It turned out to be a new winner for the guy who had a rough week last week. But turning it around this week in Englishtown, Richie Crampton wound up beating Doug Kalita by 3/100ths of a second to take home the Wally in top fuel. Brittany Force made it to the second round against Morgan Lucas, but she, coming off round one win with a time of 3:78, she lost a bit going 4.10. To Lucas's 3.84 to move her into get her through the second, but she lost in the second round. Women in the fields coming off of last week. Leah Pritchett wound up losing to J.R. Todd. Pritchett qualified 7th. Todd qualified 11th, but Todd wound up losing to eventual winner Richie Crampton, who then had to go through defending champ Sean Langdon and for when he got to face Kalita. Now, that was a tough race because Kalita had to go through Clay Milliken in round one, the Sarge Tony Schumacher in round two, and then Morgan Lucas in round three, so the semifinals to get to the final to face Richie Crampton. So that was pretty tough road to hoe. Of course, low ET on the weekend was Doug Kalita with a 374 in qualifying, and they topped that in round. He was only close to that in round one when he put a 378 up, and he also had a top speed of 327. On into the funny car ladders, last week's finalist, who lost to Courtney Force for that historic 100 female win, wound up going the distance this week, facing Del Worsham in the finals. Of course, Cruz Pedregon in qualifying, there was one instance where he was the number one qualifier, couldn't get the, had to pull the car off the line, but he wound up going against Terry Haddock in round one, which is the 16th place. So if you qualify the fastest, you always go against the slowest. Then up against Tommy Johnson Jr., then both looked like they had a pedal fest there, one with Pedregon going 5-1 to Tommy Johnson 7-2. Round one, Pedregon was at a 4.5. In the semis against Jack Beckman, he had a 4.59 to Beckman's 6.3. Didn't look like the usual funny car stuff, and then he put it all together with a 4.12 to Borsham's 4.18. So that was a pretty close to a pretty close drag race. Of course, Del Worsham didn't have an easy road to hoe. He had to go against Tony Pedregon, Cruz's brother, because he was the second qualifier, so he started the second bottom half of the ladder against 15th place Tim Wilkerson. And Wilkerson beat last week's winner Courtney Force to advance to the second round. And then for the semis, Worsham went up against Rob Height to face Pedregon in the finals. Height had to face Bob Tasca, the third. No love lost between Height and Tasca. Round two was another battle of Height and DeJoria. Poor Alexis had a couple of good wins there, and she's been running real well, but just looked like a good week for her. She ran a 4.06 in round one to a 4.10 in round two, but Height ran a slower round beating Tasca at a 4.12 to Tasca's 8.9 and had a 4.08 face against DeJoria with a little better reaction time, and I think it might have a lot to do with it. But when Rob Height went against Worsham, he had a 5.7 and not good enough ET to make it to the finals. Now, the low ET of the weekend was Cruz Pedregon in qualifying with a 3.95, which is unreal fast. You can't beat that. With you know, you start breaking 3 seconds, breaking 4 seconds in a funny car, you're going to have some good runs. But it was good enough to get him the number one spot. There were only like 3 rounds of qualifying, I think Thursdays or Friday. One of the nights was washed out. Then they ran live qualifying on Saturday. Then live ETs on Sunday, which kind of it kind of stinks because I was looking to watch the race at Dover on Sunday, and then I was trolling ESPN for the NHRA eliminations, and they were running them while the Dover race was going on. So once the Dover race got over, I had to swap on over to catch the last couple of rounds of NHRA drag racing, and, you know, usually they'll run it at night. Like, they, if they race during the day, they'll run it, like, 8 to 11 on Sunday or something like that. Now, the pro stock round, it was Jed Coughlin versus Greg Anderson in the final with Jed Coughlin taking the Wally. Alan Johnson was your number one qualifier. A record ET of the weekend was Erica Ender Stevens. She had a 6.464 in the first round of eliminations to get that one. And she also had top speed of the weekend with a 2:15.55, and that was in, that had to be in qualifying because her speed, that 6:46 was in round one was 2:14, which is pretty darn good. But she did make it to round two and facing Dave Connolly, who wound up facing the eventual winner, Jed Coughlin. So not a good day for the ladies yesterday, but that's drag racing. You come off a win. There's anybody else there having a good weekend that can beat you, but you can't count her out. As far as I'd like to go see what the points are. See how the points right now. Your points leaders in NHRA are first in the top fuel division. It's Doug Kalita over Antron Brown. Now they cap off the 10th spot for when they reconfigure for what they call countdown to the championship, which is the last six races of the year. So Doug Kalita is over Antron Brown with a 103-point difference. Sean Langdon, third. He's 171 back. Spencer Massey, fourth. 211 back. Steve Torrance, fifth. He's 229 back. Khalil Al-Balushi is sixth, 306 back. Tony Schumacher, seventh, is 314 back. Eighth is Brittany Force. She's 347 back. Richard Crampton, ninth. And 376 back in J.R. Todd. Those 10 drivers are eligible for the countdown. And on the funny car side, of course, same situation. Top 10 drivers will go to the countdown to battle for the championship. So right now, Rob Height leads his boss, John Force, by 246 points. Alexis DeGioia, third. She's 283 back. Bill Worsham's fourth at 312 back. Ron Capps, 313 back in fifth. Courtney Force, 320 back in sixth. Tommy Johnson, Jr. is seventh at 339 back. Cruz Pedregon in eighth, 341 back. Jack Beckman ninth, 367 back. And Matt Hagen rounds out the top ten. Pro stock, Erica Ender Stevens still holding a 123-point lead in first place. You go, girl. I'd like to see you become the first woman pro stock champion ever, ever. First woman pro stock winner, first woman pro stock champion. It would have only been right for her to become the first woman to 100. But she came that close, losing the semifinal to Alan Johnson last week, which led to Courtney Force being the last shot at it in the funny car for a women after the only one who had made it through all the rounds, and she had to go up against Cruz Pedregon. But anyway, Jed Coughlin, who is this past weekend's winner, is 123 back, tied for second. Alan Johnson was also 123 back. Jason Lyon is fourth with 168 back. Shane Gray, fifth. Vincent Nobile, sixth. Dave Connolly, seventh. Eighth is V. Gaines. Ninth, Chris McGahey. And tenth is Roger Brogdon. Greg Anderson, who's been out most of the year, normally would be in the hunt. He's 13. He's not even in the countdown, but he normally would be if he ran the full season. That takes care of our drag racing coverage. Now, let's get on. We got a few minutes here. Let's go to Pocono. Pocono is the tricky triangle. So it's 2.5 miles long, three various degrees of banking, none over 13. So the front straightaway is flat. There are three straightaways. The front straightaway is the longest and the widest. Then you have the Long Pond Straight and the North Straight, which are separated by turn two, which is the tunnel turn. And then you come down into turn three. There's no turn four. That's why it's called the tricky triangle. Three different shaped turns, three different degree of banking in the turns, three lengths and widths of straightaway. Darrell Waltrip used to call it the Roval because it was like a road course, but they used to call it an oval, but the tricky triangle sounds better. They used to have it where you shifted gears, then they did away with it, then they brought it back. So it's one of those tracks where they use kind of the same matchups as they do at the Brickyard, because they can run the same tire there. The track dimensions as far as flatness are the same. Brickyard is four turns, four equal turns, two equal lengths straightaway, with two short straightaways between the turns. I mean, you have the short straightaways between turns one and two and three and four, and the long straightaways between four and one and two and three to make up that 2.5 miles. Pocono is laid out a bit different, and it makes it tricky for driver setups. So you're going into different situations to where brakes can come into play, especially around the different setups, and you want to be able to, if you don't set up coming off of turn four, you won't be able, turn three, you won't be able to pick up speed. Into turn one, coming off to three, down the straightaway to get some speed going into one. And if you want to come off of turn one, you want to be able to set yourself up for the tunnel turn. So it's going to be kind of tricky as to see who's going to win there. Now, this race last year was won by Jimmy Johnson. the race a couple of months later, which is the August, beginning of August, was run by Casey Kane. So with Kane winning the second one, Johnson winning the first one, it's going to be interesting to see who's going to do what. Do I think Johnson can win this one, make it three in a row? I will go against him on that one. But do I think it will be a Chevy, a Dodge, or a Toyota? I mean, Chevy, a Ford, or a Toyota? Well, then that remains to the issue. So I'm going to go out and on a limb and make my pick for this one. Interesting to see who I'm going to pick for this. So, it's going to be tough to figure out. Well, you know what? I think I've already got it. It's going to be a Hendrick car. Somebody who's ran consistent in both races. I'm going to say Dale Jr. That's who's going to be my pick this week. He's finished in the top five in both events, so I think this might be where he can pull off his second win of the year. So on that note, go to Garage Talk Live on Facebook, and I'll be making my pick and posting it up there. So hope everybody enjoyed the show. We'll see you all next week. Good night and good racing.